Nakore Apparel is a lifestyle brand inspired by and created for those who unabashedly seek, speak, and live in truth. Nakore is the African Adinkra symbol for truthfulness, and the clothes speak truth in all its forms with the ultimate aim of love and justice. If you're down to expand the culture, break barriers, and eradicate injustice wherever you find it, then Nakore Apparel is the brand for you. Go to NakoreApparel.com. That's N-O-K-O-R-E Apparel.com.
Nakore, apparel for truth tellers.
Drunk Mind Sober Thoughts Podcast.
Yo, this is DJ Brainstorm on the mic with you right now, coming to you live and direct with episode number 380 of the Drunk Mind Sober Thoughts Podcast. The DMST Podcast is back. Thank you to everybody tuning in on Facebook and YouTube right now, the Dual Podcast, and everybody tuning in throughout the week on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, the TuneIn Radio app, No Wooshka.
None at all, man.
Anywhere, wherever, however you get your podcast, thank y'all for tuning in this week for episode 380. Yes. No Playboy today.
Just the two of us.
Yeah, man. Dev, how you feeling?
I'm feeling good, man. Had a relaxing weekend. Feeling good, man. I'll get into
you
it.
You had no relaxing good. Weekend, man. You was back and forth, man.
But it was, I'll get into it. I'll get into it. Okay. How you feeling, man?
I mean, it's all good. You know, just like you said, I kind of a relaxing evening. I mean, weekend in a sense, so whatever, but you know, it's all good. How was your week?
Man, it was cool, man. What's up, Stephanie? What's happening? What's happening? It was cool. I didn't do too much work-wise, but yeah, like I got this weekend, it was the start of spring ball for Warrensville. It was my first, you know, full team, meet the pretty much the entire team. Not everybody. Everybody came to the first meeting, but we had a good chunk of the team, like, you know, a good amount. Yeah, had that on Saturday, but it was also alumni weekend, football alumni weekend again in my college. So I was up there from Friday to Sunday. Well, I said I had a relaxing weekend. I went up on Friday. Then it's only about an hour, 10 hour, 15 minute drive. So went up on Friday, saw some of my old teammates or whatever, hung out. It was cool with some of the whites. Mm-hmm. At a local establishment. You know what I'm saying? And I saw some of the homies. We chilled, went to a couple of different spots. Erie is one of them cities that's just stuck in whatever time frame. You know
what
I'm saying?
I remember I went out there a few years back or so. Actually, it's been more than a few years now. Because that was when I texted you, like, oh, I'm out here by your old school or whatever. Man. Yeah.
And we had this spot called Big Bar. It used to be called, I think, Piccadillo or something back in the day. But it's just, they playing, first of all, they playing Bodak Yellow by Cardi B. But it's like, the beat is like,
you know, they playing the house version of the rap.
Then, if you wanted to, I can't explain it, man. So, went out that night, kicked it a little bit, but I had to turn in a little bit early, like 11, because I had to get up in the morning, Saturday morning, drive back to Warrensville, do spring ball. We really just met, did all whiteboard stuff Saturday morning, then drove back. But the thing is, when I left, I didn't hit nobody. When I came back to Erie, I didn't hit nobody to say I'm back. So I think because I didn't do that, they was like, you know, they probably just assumed I either got caught up in Cleveland or whatever the case may be. So I was able to just went and got some pizza from one of the old spots, Porky's around campus, went to back to the hotel room, watched BMF, watched the episode of Abbott Elementary, and chilled.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I was able to, if I didn't already pay for the hotel room for the weekend, I probably would have just stayed after practice. But, I mean, I paid for it. You know what I'm saying? So, just use it as kind of like a small little, quick little, reset, refresher. Just, it was cool, man. A little chill, little hotel. Wasn't nothing spectacular about the hotel space. So, it was a cool little weekend, man. Okay. Kind of refreshing myself because, I mean, I know everybody does this. They go to work for 5 days a week. But when you work with other people's kids, 5 days a week is a long week, and we got six straight weeks of 5 days, and that's the longest stretch of the year. And that's what we got left.
Poor y'all.
It ain't no joke.
Poor y'all. No, I know it's different with kids. I'm just joking with that. But yeah, I know it's different with the kids.
Yeah. So, but it was cool, man. Just chill, relaxed. You know, drove around campus a little bit. It's always nostalgic to drive around, see your old stomping grounds for a little bit, and then yeah. You know, it's cool. It's a cool little weekend, man.
I would say that's one of the things I miss with me doing. I mean, I've done schooling on campus at different places, but I never finished there. So everything got finished, I finished online. So not having that place to go back to and be like, I remember when I was doing this. I mean, I done been down to OU with Corleisha, and she showing me places she used to go to when she was in school down there and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I do miss that, especially since I've been on so many damn college campuses for doing band stuff and competitions and traveling and HBCUs and all that stuff. And I do hate I don't have that part of stuff where you just go back home and
you can see.
Yeah.
And they've done so much upkeep to the campus. Like, it's the new practice facility might as well be Berea. Like, it's unreal. They got an indoor football
field. And
what
are they, D2?
Yeah, but our crosstown rival, Mercyhurst, just went D1. Mm. And Gannon is gearing up to go that way, too.
My uncle played for Mercyhurst back in the day. Yep.
Yeah, they just went D1, so we gearing up to do it, too. When I first got there, we was 1AA, but then we dropped down to D2 for scholarship, to get more scholarships. I know that sounds crazy, but the comp, D2 scholarship is a little bit better than D1AA non-conference. So, but anyway, but yeah, it was cool. Cool little weekend, man. How was your week?
Everything was cool with the work and stuff. You know, we just doing some little stuff around the house here and there. You know, getting some little stuff delivered every so often. And then, I was basically it. Did some yard work today. Woke up and took advantage since it was actually nice. I didn't want to. I've been putting it off because, you know, it's been raining on some of the nice days and things like that. So I've been putting it off, and then I kept hearing all these lawnmowers going on in the neighborhood. I'm like, I might as well.
You had to compete with them?
No, I might as well just go ahead and get up and do it, you know, because it's going to rain again tomorrow. I mean, I woke up and it was sunny. I'm like, I might as well just run on out there and do it. So, you know, spend a couple hours in the yard doing that, you know, things like that. So it was, did the Cavs game on Friday, my last game in my package for the year. So did the Cavs game on Friday. That was pretty much it. No, nothing that I could think of spectacular over the course of the week.
Speaking of, you want to give them a quick little talk about, you know, how was your experience this year going first? With, you know, you had the package you had this year,
yeah,
with the Cavs. How was that experience, man? You gonna do it again?
Nah, I didn't re up. I may do it after this season coming up, because you start paying for it in January.
Why? And you seem a bunch of suckers.
That and I don't know what's, because I told my people around me, because it's funny, because I know we talked about it with you, where it's like you want to go in every game, so the people around you really kind of get to, you know, even if you don't really know their names, you know their faces all the time, and y'all talk, you know, because, you know, you there at the games. That's why I told them I didn't re-up and everything, but I told them, like, I don't know what the team going to look like next year.
Yeah.
You know, and with these things, you have to pay for your tickets. Like, it's not like it's coming up on the season. You're like, oh, I'm going to do it, and then you start paying for it during the season. No, paying for it way before. So it ain't worth it. You don't know if Donovan's going to be here next year, in all honesty. You just don't know. I mean, even the crazy shit about today, I mean, it's this team don't have heart. Mm-hmm. I mean, I get you want to get an easier first-round opponent, but you had the 2 and 3 seed right there on the table, and all you had to do was keep, you know, put more effort in. You said, nah, I'm not going to do it. We'll rather take our chances with Orlando, right. You know, and now you in the 4 seed, which you could have been, in the 3 because Milwaukee lost. Mm-hmm. You know,
you would have won the Central.
Yeah, and you would have won the Central, and then you're not getting Boston in the second round, but you didn't want to take no chances of having a 7 or 8 seed and having to possibly play Philly or Miami, because you ain't – not get it. You got to think about winning that at least that round, but you ain't want no problems of Philly and Miami, who is probably – I'm thinking probably going to get that 7 and 8 seed.
Yeah.
You know, they better than Chicago and I think Atlanta, who was 9 and 10, you know, so to play in for the fourth. But it's just
– this is the thing, though, man.
Oh, no, Chicago and Atlanta, I think it is.
This the thing. You know I do this all the time, but I don't know why. Because I hate this team. I got a weird feeling about the Cavs in the playoffs, man.
I'd had a better feeling if they didn't get Boston in the second round.
I don't know if they're going to get Boston in the second round.
You think Boston might get beat in the first round?
I don't know. The Boston having to play
either Philly or Miami.
I want
more than
Philly down the line. Once that 320 pounds been pounding on that knee of Joel Embiid. Pause.
Yeah.
I don't want Joel Embiid fresh in these next couple weeks because Joel might come out and do some work, but I feel like Joel gonna wear down. Either if they get either one of them teams, Miami or Philly, that's not a guaranteed first round win for Boston. I'm not, and unfortunately, the Cavs don't match up terrible. They've never matched up terrible against Boston with this team that they is currently constructed. They've always played them well. I got a weird feeling. As much as I hate this team, I don't know who. Put it this way, I don't know if it's gonna be the Cavs. But I do not see the Oklahoma City Thunder playing the Boston Celtics in the NBA Finals. Yeah, something is off. There's not going to be one seed versus one seed or two seed versus one seed in this NBA Finals. I don't know who it's going to be. I don't know if it's going to be the Magic or the Pacers or something weird or the Knicks or, you know, the T-Wolves. Somebody. I don't see Denver Boston in the finals.
I don't really got animosity against them. I mean, they beat us last year, but I don't really hate them as like a squad. I got a feeling about the Knicks.
It might be
Jalen.
The
Brunson,
problem is the
Jalen
problem,
Brunson is
he's balling. The problem is Julius Randle and OG Anunoby.
Yeah,
and that's the problem they got. And he gonna have to really small guard them to victory.
But I think that could
we'll
be
done. We'll see, man. We'll see. I got a weird feeling there's going to be somebody that's not like this Ant-Man take his leap this year. Somebody, it's something we're not ready for. And I got a weird feeling, man. I got a weird feeling.
Well, we're going to see.
So we will see. It starts. Our first game is Saturday. The play-in.
I'm pretty sure it's going to be Saturday.
Yeah, I just saw it earlier. The play-in game. Play-in game start on Tuesday night.
So they already told us Saturday. They just don't know what time.
Yeah, I don't know what time yet.
Yeah, because Caps Orlando, it's not a sexy matchup. No. Last year was New York. You had the New York market, so they kind of got a decent time on that Saturday.
We probably got like a 3:30.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they had a 12 o'clock the very first game. Yeah. It's not a sexy matchup. Yeah. It's not two huge markets. It is what it is.
Well,
I'm not buying playoff tickets this year.
For what it's worth, if the Guardians can keep it going and the Central is not that great, this will be the first time in Cleveland sports history that all three teams made the playoffs in the same calendar year. If they can pull it off. So we'll see. Still not a small feat. It's still playoff sports in a major city, in a major sport.
But it's tonight. What up?
And we'll see what's up, man. We'll see what's up. Yeah. I wanted Indy. Speaking of brothers tonight, I wanted Indy in the playoffs, man.
Yeah, I was out there on Friday. You know, it was they pushed them. They pushed them on Friday night. You know, it would have been fun. We haven't played Indy in the playoffs in a few years. It was so funny that it all lined up right when we started doing the pod. So
yeah, yeah.
16, we had them in the playoffs. 17, they faced them in the playoffs. I think 17 might have been. Was 16 the year when they were down? The story that that Jeff Teague was telling when they was in the playoffs and they had the Cavs for like 20-some points in the playoffs. So was that 17?
No, that was 7. No, what year was that? It wasn't 16.
It wasn't 16 because we was out in Vegas when we was playing. We was out in Vegas in 17.
That might have been 18.
That might have been 18.
It might have been 8 because 8. Because
Kyrie was still on that team. So it wasn't 18.
So it was 17.
It was 17 then, yeah, yeah. Because I remember both years we was out because we was out for episode 50 the first time we played. And I think PG was still on that team. And then 17 for episode 100. I'm sorry, 17 was
that was Oladipo who kept getting bigs on the island.
It was the game 7 or whatever. Man, he was out there for episode 100.
He just kept getting bigs on the island, and he would attack downhill. And there was nothing we could do. We couldn't stop Victor Oladipo, man.
He said he should have smoked us. man, but yeah, we got to holler brother tonight too, man. We still got to talk about
a pod and R&B out there in
Indy. I talked to him about it before. You know, we gotta rap to him about that. Try to get this show on the road a little bit and see. Especially now that we really starting to get our, we really got it. Especially the way we just did it a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. It'll be really dope, you know. Yeah. So we gotta holler him about that.
Yeah, we gotta chop it up about the next date too.
Definitely. Speaking of a little bit more thing with sports, OJ died this week.
Yeah, man.
I started to text y'all about that. Because, you know, he's been on, you know, it is what it is with Cam and Mace a lot. I didn't know he had prostate cancer. I guess it just went over me or whatever. Yeah. But so I didn't know. I mean, I think this week showed the age gap of people, especially on social media, because it's like, we could already put the other stuff, we can't put it to the side, obviously the trial and stuff, but people, the strange conversations I saw people having. Well, you shouldn't have been surprised that he got off because he was a black man and wealthy. It's like, bro, how old are you? That shit took place right after the Rodney King thing.
Somebody said because he was a black man, he got off.
Yeah, because he was wealthy. That's the big more so man, because he was wealthy and everybody, all the white people loved him and all this stuff. It's like, but this is America.
Yeah, they wasn't around.
This is America.
They wasn't around.
No, that was a great, but people our age don't understand how crazy of a time that was.
I remember I was in Miss Tears class at Kirk. It was TVs damn near in every room. That building went crazy when the verdict came back.
Yeah.
It also showed the lines of race.
Mm-hmm.
It showed.
Mm-hmm.
White people still to this day
are upset about it.
Are upset about it. And I don't.
Including Caitlyn Jenner.
Well.
Good riddance is what you said.
The same shit you said. Let me be quiet. Same shit you said to Bruce. Bro,
I'm about to say this.
Fuck out of here. Fuck out of here. He got off. He got off. He ain't do it. Man. You know what I'm saying? According to the justice system in this country.
Yeah. Yeah.
That man died innocent. Mm-hmm. Well, he got acquitted of the charges of murder. All right?
Yep.
Now, did he do armed robbery to get his stuff back in Vegas? Yes.
A lot of people, I ain't gonna say a lot of people would have, but. Yeah, well, a lot of people would have.
Yeah, he went and got his stuff back.
Yeah.
But as far as him being a murderer, he was not that. You know what I mean? Rest
according
in peace,
to the justice system.
Rest in peace to the juice, man.
Yeah.
But no, he did do a good job of like, shout out to Cam and Mace for like reviving his, you know, kind of his image for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Turning him into Uncle OJ. Because we never, well, man, we're doing a long weekend, a lot of stuff going on. We never really embraced, OJ in the black community outside of the trial. I mean, if anybody ever wants to watch amazing TV, the documentary they did.
Made in America.
Made in America.
Yes, I've been telling Kalisha it's five parts. I forgot it was an hour and a half each one.
Yeah,
but I'm going to watch
unreal.
It again.
Yeah, it was unreal.
It's amazingly done. Yeah. ESPN does that stuff. I say it all the time. They do those things incredibly well. It's amazing how good it is.
It was a great documentary.
Like even the part, I know the part one is his background and stuff. Mm-hmm. It shows you why he became the kind of, why he kind of didn't like black people in a sense. Like, not that I'd agree with it or anything like that.
Yeah, but still, yeah.
You know, but it's amazing. Like you said, it's five parts.
Yeah so. But, you know, anytime somebody, this one is, it ain't the hill to die on. So it's like, all right, rest in peace, OJ. But this ain't even worth the argument. Mm. I'm beyond, I embrace the fact that we live in a country that, you know, race plays a part. People try to act like it don't. Until shit like this happens, then you clearly see the division of lines.
Yeah.
You clearly see it. You saw it back there in what was it, 96 was the verdict? 94 the chase happened.
I think the verdict actually came down, either came out in 95 or 96. Yeah, because 94 was the chase. Let's say sometime in 95, because it was a long trial. I remember I was in what was the freshman football player's name? Mr. T, it started with a T.
Yeah, October 3rd, 1995.
Okay, yeah. We was in this class, and they pulled the TVs into the rooms and everything. You know, back in the day before you had TVs in every room and stuff like that. If they got TVs in every room, there's probably just whatever. People using them, you know, watching their computers or whatever. But, yeah. The TV in the room.
That only lasted a year. I felt like that shit lasted 5 years.
Yeah. That's the origination of court TV, I think. It really came in and took off with that trial because it was on every single day.
I was talking to our security guard at the school, man. Cool dude. Mr. Garner, head of security, he was talking about how, like, OJ would have had to been a master murderer to pull this off, though.
I see a lot of people saying that over the last few
like
days.
Like, a master murderer. And I didn't think about it. We was all joking. Like, he got away with it. And when he was breaking it down, I'm like, you know what?
I'll say this much.
I mean, he had to murder him silently with the kids upstairs, get back, not get nothing. Because this picture's him, no cuts on the body.
You know, but remember DNA and all that stuff was real. They keep saying it was relatively new then, the way they were using it. It was relatively new. But, I mean, forensics, like it is tough. I mean, but the schedule he kept, and then he was like on a flight going somewhere.
Yeah, like this thing had to be a master murderer. A master murderer.
It's a lot of crazy people in the world to think about stuff. Like, I look at stuff now, like we watch Dateline all the time. And I'm always like, I can't understand why people think they're really going to get away with stuff now.
Yeah.
Maybe it was easier back in 93, 94, whenever it was, 94 when the murders actually happened, you know, but I don't know. But it's You really got to be diabolical to really sit there and think about, I'm going to do this, and I'm just, this is what I'm going to do to get away with it, and I'm going to go here, and I'm going to do all these other things. It's just, you a different level.
I'm hitting golf balls in the front yard, then I go murder somebody, and I hop in the truck. Then it's just a while. It's just,
I don't see how people can do it anyway. I mean, honestly, I told you, I watch a lot
of problem, people. The problem OJ going to forever have is why the gun in the back of the Bronco. Like, fuck it, I'm about to take my own life.
Running, yeah.
Why'd you run, brother?
That's another one. ESPN has a documentary called, I think it's called June 17, 1994. That was the day that, you know, it's again, living it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a Friday. I remember we went to the beach with, we went to like Euclid Beach with a couple family friends and stuff like that. So it's like three families after we came home thinking we going to watch the NBA Finals. And nope, everything is being preempted because OJ is in the back of a Bronco with a gun. Yep. Or whatever, and people that night thought that OJ was gonna commit suicide.
Yeah, oh, it was, nigga. I need to go back and really go back and look at this.
Pull up the ESPN 30 for 30
because I think what I'm saying is like I'm trying to find this image.
I miss those old Broncos too. That new Bronco don't hold a candle to them old ones.
Yeah, don't. Why? Oh. My bad. No, I was watching, I think, you say June 17th?
I think it's all June 17th, 1994. I think that was the day it all happened, when he was running.
Because I think I was watching the Indians. I was watching the Indians game. We had like a sun porch in our old house. And we had a TV out there. And me and my cousin Teddy Bear, rest in peace, Teddy Bear. But we was watching the Indians game. Mm-hmm. And my mom and them, this is pre-cell phone shit.
Yeah.
So my mother and father was somewhere.
And of course y'all just they
and
just
they
gone.
Hadn't gotten back yet.
They just gone. Yeah.
And when they got home, we like, OJ just killed somebody on the freeway, right? And then that's all we watched.
Yeah.
But I want to go back. I need to go and look and see if I'm tripping. Because I remember Manny Ramirez hitting a home run like to the upper deck in Houston. But let me see. June 17th, 1994?
I think that's the name. Yeah, I think that's the name of the documentary. So that's the day he was on the run. That should have been a Friday.
Oh, no. It wasn't the Astros. It wasn't the Astros then. All right. I thought, they ain't even calling it the fucking.
They still got the Guardians on there to do that.
They got to call, they call it the Guardians. Did he hit one over the Monster or something?
Yeah, they won 8-1, I see.
Manny Ramirez. Oh, I don't see if it was a home run. I don't think it was a home run. Something I was watching. I was watching the game. It was, I don't know, I was watching the Indians game. So I was wrong about them playing the Astros. Shoot me. But first of all, this team, Jesus Christ.
It's insane. 94 was insane.
Kenny Lofton, Omar Vizquel, Carlos Berger, Albert Bell, Eddie Murray, Paul Sereno, Manny Ramirez, Jim Thome, and Sandy Alomar.
Manny's hitting 7. In
Jim Thome Jim Thome's eight.
Hitting 8th. You talking about Hall of Famers, and they're hitting 7 and 8 in your lineup. It's insane. It's insane.
Ooh-wee.
How that team didn't win a title, it's insane.
Yeah. Anyway.
So, I mean, obviously, RIP to OJ. I mean, like, I'm not here to talk about anything either way about the trial and stuff. It was a crazy time. The trial was insane. The verdict announcement was insane. Again, it was off the heels of Rodney King. So, you know, for all the people, again, the young people on social media and the Twitters and stuff that don't understand why people was celebrating or people couldn't understand why he got off or
they got to watch Made in
America. Like, you got to understand that, like, we lived in a space where we watched 5, 6, 7, 8 cops beat the shit out of a black man on that got recorded and all of them got off.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other better proof that you can get than 8 people beating somebody's ass on the ground and they all got off.
Mm-hmm.
So for one person and to get off, it don't matter who it was. It don't matter who it was. And at that point, one person beat the system.
Yeah.
Might be the only person to beat the system since then.
Yep, exactly.
But one person did. That's all it was. So
Shout out to OJ, man. Rest in peace, brother.
Yeah.
You know, love to the family, man.
Yeah. Oh, before we move on too, the eclipse was on Monday.
Yeah. Oh shit. That's right.
Yeah.
It was dope. It was doper than I
the thought going in?
Yeah, it was cool, man. It was a cool experience.
Especially for us, because we were right in the path of totality. Mm-hmm. So that meant it was going to be completely blocked out.
Where'd you watch it at?
I watched it at home. I was in the backyard. Like, you know, you work from home. Mm-hmm. You get to, I sat outside probably from 12 o'clock. Just working outside because it was nice on Monday.
Yeah.
It was crazy because it was supposed to be cloudy and the chance of rain. It was like 10 o'clock. That shit cleared out and we was sunny all day. But like being in the totality made us get the full experience. I mean, it was like by 2 something, my neighbor was like, oh, it's already starting to cover it up. So I put my glasses on and look and you start to see it. It's already starting to take, you know, it's starting to cover it up. And then it's amazing that they can predict something down to like the exact minute.
I mean, it's crazy.
They told us 3:12 totality
and it was
and 3:12
right
on the head. Yeah, you know, and it was so dope to 2:30, you start to feel it getting cooler outside, you know, and then you stand outside at night, and it was literally like being outside at night. Yeah, it was a dope experience.
Yeah, it was cool, man. We went to Sunset Park to see it, our Lost Nation. So it was cool.
Was there hooping out there?
Hooping?
Yeah,
no. They had a bunch of people over by Lost Nation Airport though, where they hooping.
Oh yeah, out towards Willoughby and stuff. Okay,
You keep all the way going down Lost Nation to Lakeshore, and it's a park over there. You get really good views of the sunset. So it was dope, man. We ended up going down right by the lake. Rhea McKenzie Lee stayed at the top of the hill. But it was cool, man. It was a real cool experience. It was cooler than I thought it was going to be. Because I was going to go out on the porch and watch it and go back in. Mm-hmm. But they convinced me to come out and go, Lee and McKenzie. So yeah, it was cool, man. It was cool.
I mean, again, it was just, who knows when it's not scheduled to be, I guess, in Cleveland for totality for like.
Yeah, we won't
be here or whatever. It happens. They said, like, I think every other year or something in other places.
Yeah. No, it happens almost yearly. I was watching the different paths of it, and it usually goes over water. So nobody ever sees it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So we got lucky up here. And honestly, to live it was dope. I mean, I saw a lot of people being like, so what now, you know, so what, and now what? It's like, I almost feel like too, I mean, you ain't have to be excited about it, but I almost feel like, you know, if it didn't move you in a little bit
then
or whatever,
then
you was like, it's like, are you, I ain't gonna say dead inside, but it's like, it was nothing about it that was like a little bit
cool.
Yeah. A little cool. Like, all right, cool. I mean, I'm not saying we had to sit there and write a whole article about how great it was, but it was, again, I sat outside, I'm like, oh, it is getting cooler, and you know, and you see and you're sitting outside and it's 3:15 and it's completely dark outside. All of our lights are on, the street lights are on, all of our accent lights in the backyard then came on because of, you know, you hear you do hear the pets reacting a little weirder and
the birds
like
was tripping at the lake.
It was a dope experience.
It was dope. It was cool, man. It was cool.
Then the Indians went out and won. The Guardians went out and won the game. So cool. Did they get swept today?
No, they won.
Okay.
They won walk-off, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They won. They playing ball, man. They came back on the Yankees, man. They lost the one game. They got smacked, but they played the Yankees tough both games. The first game yesterday, they got smacked the second one.
Okay.
And then they won today.
Okay.
But let's get to the meat and potatoes of this week. Of these past couple weeks, so let's go through the time. Let's start back.
The commission.
Let's go back, way back. Let's go back.
What's beef?
To 2013, to the controversy.
Are you going back?
Kendrick Lamar said in 2013, "I trying to murder all you niggas, all y'all."
Is that the verse when he put names and stuff like that? Okay,
people like all these subtle shots. If I didn't already said your name and I'm trying to murder you niggas, I'm trying to make sure your core fans never heard of you niggas. Mm-hmm. He already said it. Mm-hmm. And he's been on a mission ever since. Now, the thing about it is I know I'm jumping around from thing to thing. After J. Cole apologized.
That's a conversation too.
We'll get into that convo. After J. Cole apologized, he's starting to like, Kendrick is starting to cash in on his promise. Cause even his core fans is like, I'm still listening to your music, but I can no longer I can't put you in these conversations. This is the thing about rap and hip hop, right? We talked about it before. It like I think I mentioned it before on the pod. I did my senior thesis in college on hip hop culture and the effects on the black community. What I ended up doing was going back to the origins of it, obviously. We talked about it on the pod mm-hmm. before. But the competition aspect of hip hop is what makes it unique, but it's also the foundation of it. This is it. This is what it's about. This is why when this happens, it causes such a stir, because the essence of rap is like, how can I take these words, flip them to become the best? You know what I mean? And whatever I'm trying to say. And then when I can separate myself from you by pointing out your flaws, that is the core essence of hip hop, the MCing side of it. Okay. Not the DJing side, not the breakdancing side, not the style side, but the pure MCing side. This is the essence of it. So when I gotta give Drake some credit.
Well, his response yesterday.
For responding yesterday.
I saw people saying they think it's AI, but
I thought it was AI at first because
it didn't feel like it was. That was some bit talk. And I don't know if Drake, he bit talks. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he bit talks like that, but it was a nice response.
It was a nice response. So let's
call it drop and give me 50, right?
Yeah.
It's a good response.
Give me 50, Drake. Oh, it's called push-ups.
Okay.
It's the pettiness of it, man. So if you don't know, Kendrick got these videos where he doing push-ups in the park. We do a push-up, he stand up, and like, bow his head.
Like, that, like the I Dream of Jeannie thing.
Yeah. I was trying to find the lyrics, man.
I wonder if anybody done did them yet since it just came out yesterday.
Drop and give me 50. So, see, he told the nigga, how you stepping in the side with size 7 men's on, like.
It's a nice joke.
These are nice little jabs. But I think both people said it. Drake said it, and then Ross came out 2 hours after that with a check, and they're throwing jabs and mm-hmm. shit at each other. But I guess I don't know how you feel about, because everybody is trying to like take Drake's side because a lot of people are coming at him, but it seems as if the industry is just tired of. I feel like Drake is playing a caricature of a rapper.
I think the industry is tired of him. I think a lot of people within the game mm-hmm. is just tired of this nigga sing-songing his way through raps and stuff. But I get it. It's what you do. Mm-hmm. It's made you a lot of money and mm-hmm. got you a lot of fans. And he's really good. Mm-hmm. Drake is really, really good. Drake makes hits. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Now, I personally haven't liked one of his whole albums.
Yeah.
Since maybe views, like one of his whole albums, but he makes hits. Drake could take somebody could have a hot song and Drake could just be like, hey, let me hop on it, and you ain't gonna tell Drake no. Mm-hmm. And then he'll hop on it, he'll give it a hot bar or something like that, and the song could go from here, even though it's hot, and it'll go through the roof. But I agree with y'all saying about him playing the caricature of a artist in mm-hmm. a sense. But he got his niche though. It's a niche. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Niche. Whatever. Yeah, one of them. But he got it though.
Yeah.
So go ahead and do you. But I do feel like the people within the game are kind of like, all right, we kind of tired. So it's like now you got a chance where somebody's actually going at him. Everybody probably going to kind of pile on in a sense. And it's like, all right, yeah, I ain't like this nigga neither.
Because on the Metro and Future new album, You had The Weeknd sing some shots at the nigga.
I didn't know that until I saw something over the weekend. Yeah,
ASAP
this nigga sang shots.
ASAP took some shots at him. I think that was it on there. think that was it on there. But then you obviously you had Kendrick from the first one, and then now you got Rick Ross. And everybody's waiting on Kendrick to come back out with something else. But I'm just glad we're here, because earlier in the week, people were, you know, after to get into the other part, when J. Cole apologized, first of all, J. Cole apologized because the shit didn't hit. That's why, in my opinion, that's why he apologized.
I disagree.
Okay, tell me why.
So I was talking about it with Mark on Friday. He had to do some work on the wife's car. Shout out to Mark again. Mm. I feel like he apologized because it ain't him.
I don't believe that.
Like, I feel like Cole moved too fast.
Cole been talking shit for years.
But I don't feel like he's a rap beef guy. I feel like he's that confident in his own shit that he'll brag about him and say that's what he's doing. But I don't feel like he really want to be in beef. And I feel like Cole moved too fast. I feel like Cole shouldn't have put that song out. That ain't him. Now, you can talk about, like, rap about, use your subliminals or whatever you're going to do about how you great. Because you have been killing niggas for the last, what, 3 years? He been killing people. He get on anybody's song, he kill him right now.
So this is the problem I have.
I feel like he moved too fast.
Okay, this is the problem I have. Because Ross put his something out in 2 hours.
Yeah.
This is the problem I have.
And Ross probably should have took 4.
No, because
we said it. The lyrics ain't great. But the
lyrics is okay. But he did two things.
Okay.
He killed Drake's because he just took the shine from it. Like Drake's song lived for 2 hours. And I don't think the world's listened back to it since his came out because of the talking part at the end. Mm-hmm. And so because of the talking part, he almost eliminated Drake's. He eliminated it because his came out 2 hours later. And ain't nobody been, because I'm a reaction video watcher. So when I drove back from Erie this morning, all I did was watch responses. I love watching reaction videos. Mm-hmm. And I watched reaction videos to Champagne Moments for an hour and a half riding back from Erie.
Okay.
And that's, YouTube is just filled
back to back
with Rick Ross shit.
Yeah.
It just doused the flame. Like Drake shit would have still been living and breathing. That's what we've been talking about today.
And he put up a video today, too. Did you see when he was out, I guess, in his yard or something?
Oh, yeah.
He killing me calling Drake white boy and stuff. He killing me calling him white boy.
He called him BBL Drizzy, man. This thing is wild.
He killing me, man.
But the problem I have, I'm trying to equate it to somebody. The thing about Cole is I don't even have an athlete to equate it to, because once competition hits, if the old response is I'm not built for this, then get the fuck out the league then, man.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to argue with you on that.
But if you're not built for this.
Yeah.
Because it's what rap, at the core of it, at some point, you got to prove your worth.
Show and prove.
You can talk all the shit you want, Cole.
Show and prove.
Even though first person shooter, he gave a little paid homage, said we the big three, like we started the league. But then he said, I feel like I'm Muhammad Ali. Yeah. He still tried to
say. That's what I was telling Mark when he was talking about it. I'm like, on first person shooter, as much as they was talking about, it's almost like you giving credit or whatever.
But then you took a little jab.
But they sat there all day long. But I'm the best though. But I'm him and Drake all day long on first person shooter. I'm the best though.
Okay.
I'm the best though. But I'm Muhammad Ali and I'm this and that or whatever. It really ain't the big three. It's just whatever. It's like even we the Spider-Man meme. You know, we just point. It's like the Spider-Man meme that everybody knows. It's just two people pointing back at it or them pointing at each other or whatever. It's just. It was almost like, even like I said too, it was almost like he, you know, with the whole part of the song of first person shooter, it's like, you know, people arguing about who's the best, whatever. Like, is it Aubrey? Is it Kate out of me or whatever? It's like, that's almost like the homage to the Jay-Z line, you know, people argue all day
Big
who's
Jay-Z
the best. Yeah, it's like, it was like, it's giving credit, but you know, but we all know that in that point of that song, Jay was saying, yeah, I respect you, Big. Mm-hmm. I think I'm the shit. But Nas.
Yeah.
Like, we all know that. We all know that, and I felt like that's what he was doing when he even put that line out there. So I feel you on that. So I feel you on that.
So you might be right, but if you're not built for it, then I guess
even put your toe in that water.
You got to get out the way, and that's the thing. Like Rick
if they
Ross,
come at your neck, shut up.
Yeah, exactly. So like I'm like Champagne Moments, like Rick Ross to me is not a rapper's rapper. So I didn't expect this to be a barred up. like, ooh, shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Double entendre feel.
Nah, hell no, hell no. He's you never know, been that.
Like Kendrick said, these niggas clicking up, no 40 water. Like, that's that. I ain't expected to be like, let me dissect this bar. But he threw, to me, he threw enough jabs. To me, he threw enough jabs to be like, nigga, I'm talking to you. It was the recency of him putting it out 2 hours out. Mm-hmm. And he talking about niggas leaking their records when we speaking directly. If we keeping the gangster, when you see me, you check me. Like, nigga, you can call me, nigga.
Yeah.
And if it was a problem, then check me. And then the problem is, when he got to talking at the end, it was over. Mm-hmm. That song to me was not about the lyrics. He did all that to get to the last 40 seconds.
To just get some shit off his chest.
Yeah.
I feel you on that.
White boy.
I feel you on that. Listen, I said, and what he said, in the Dockers thing, what he said, you wearing Dockers with no draws?
Yeah, I see you, white boy, wearing them Dockers with no draws.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's a, yeah, you made some good points where it's like, you know, like even with the cold, and like you said, it's just, it's going to get to that at some point. Mm-hmm. And if you're not prepared for it to get to that point, maybe rap beef haven't gotten there to, then don't even, but stop talking about you the best.
You can't do that.
Because no matter what you're going to do.
But then the problem is you can't be a rapper if you don't think you're the best.
Yeah.
So it's a catch 22.
It's like sports, you know, it's like, I always say, like, the beauty about sports is at some point you got to get on the court.
At some point,
you got to get between them lines. I be telling them all the time at home, like people can talk all day long, but at some point you got to show and prove. And at some point that man got to line up across from you. Or at some point, you're going to have the ball, and that man going to be like, I'm sick of hearing your mouth. I'm going to check you. Like,
at some point,
that shit's going to happen, and you got to show and prove. You know? And so, Cole had a time to show and prove, and he did. I didn't like the song. I mean, I did not like the song. I actually enjoyed the song. I felt like it was another little jab or whatever, but it's like, but you can't come on stage and apologize.
You can't
it's
do
like,
that,
like
man.
I respect you or whatever. I will. I also respect you because it ain't your lane. But you can't, and you still got bars, and you still one of the best out there. But you could, if you're going to apologize because this is what you're not used to doing or whatever, to me, you can no longer get on raps and start being like, I'm the best.
You
and I'm listening. Because if niggas want to come for your neck and come for that crown, and you ain't ready to handle what's going to come with that, then you can't say you're the best on any rap song no more. Now, it's subjective still, but we can't say that no more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm not as mad at Cole for doing it, but yeah, I ain't like it, though.
I'm not gonna lie to you. Out of all three of them, I'm a bigger Cole fan. That might be why I'm more disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
It was this one meme earlier. I ain't gonna be able to find it, but somebody was like, explain this to me. I'm a sports fan. Explain J. Cole to me like I'm a sports fan. It was this video of Tyler Hansborough about to get mad as fuck after he got fouled hard.
The old one.
He turned around and it was Metal World Peace.
Yeah.
And he said, shit.
He said, oh shit, my bad.
That is what just happened.
You was talking
crazy and then you realize, fuck, I got to go up against Kendrick. My bad. No, nigga, no. Why is your energy shift? And we know this is the thing. We know this is not going to go. This is not going to go to bullets, I don't think. But you should be creative enough. Like, I keep going back to it. Not because it's the hardest line ever, but because it shows you how creative Kendrick is. When he said, niggas clicking up, no 40 water. Like, I feel like Cole is creative enough to go after niggas without having to, like,
threaten people.
Say you wearing Dockers with no draws. That's for the Rosses of the world.
Yeah.
Show me your lyrical ability to dissect this nigga. Nigga, break down 5'7" and 5 foot. Foot to the, like, dude, break this shit down. Like, destroy this nigga. with push-ups in the park, and there's ways you can do this.
The people who like rap
yes!
are going to love that shit.
Oh, my God,
the fringe people just want to hear you wearing Dockers with no drawers or shit or whatever.
Ross probably won his beef to the average nigga on Instagram.
Which is why to the average nigga, Ether was the hottest one.
Ether, listen. Ether and Takeover was top.
But you know what would have been better about the Jay Nas thing from back in the day was maybe if they would have sparred back and forth a little bit longer.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like it was almost like Jay did his thing at Summer Jam. Mm-hmm. You know, the Takeover came out, you know, well, he did a piece of the Takeover, then he put the whole song out. Yeah. Nas comes back with Ether.
I don't think
Jay comes back with the joint on the Blueprint too.
Yeah.
And he actually did the one cut too that he actually apologized for.
I skied on your baby.
His mom's like, yo, that's too far.
I feel like Ether and Takeover was like.
But them was heavyweight shots.
Nigga, them was heavyweight.
From the jump. It was funny. I watched a Mike Tyson video. So I don't know why I was watching Mike Tyson fights last night. Them was Mike Tyson shots from the jump.
Yeah.
From the jump. Yeah. Some people are jabbing right now. Yeah, they definitely jabbing right now. But Cole can't talk that shit no more to me. Cole's still gonna be one of the hardest out there to me. Mm. People are gonna look at him differently. If you had to come out there and apologize, that means that shit was in your spirit even when you were doing it. You let niggas gas you up, like he said though. He let people gas him up. And if that ain't you, that ain't you. Or be more so be more subliminal about it or whatever. It's like everybody knew who you was talking about. You know, you dropped this album. It's the last song on the album and stuff. It's just like, I guess you call it the mixtape almost in a sense. But I mean,
I kind of believe. I that's the thing. I mean, I think I'll forever be on two ends of the spectrum with that. When it comes to the mindset around what Cole did. I think he got scared of what could happen. I don't know, man. I don't know. I think he maybe got scared of what could possibly happen. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But you went through all this. You've been talking this big shit. Like you've been. It's one of the reasons why I fuck with Cole. Go to his verse. What the fuck is the song with him and Yachty, man? Hold on. Give me a second. Let me look this.
While you mentioning that too, while you looking for that, on the Drake side of things too, what I was thinking about is if you go back to Drake's first album, he got the cut with Jay, Light Up, and Jay said in the verse, like, Drake, here's how they gonna come at you with silly rap feuds trying to distract you, you know, whatever. Mm. It's like he told him on his first album, this how this is gonna happen or whatever. But I mean, it's. Again, Drake is cool. Mm-hmm. Drake has the lane that it works in.
Yeah.
But I do think to the actual rappers, I think they over Drake.
See, this thing, nigga, you got to hear the shit. Niggas making threats and I laugh. That's because you ain't a threat. Don't ask how I feel about no rapper shit. They okay, I guess. You got to hear him on his shit. He talking shit right now. You got to hear it on the beat, though. He like, niggas ask me how I feel about rappers. They okay, I guess. Like, you talking shit right now.
Yeah, of course.
Nigga, he said, incoming call, press the button. The one that said accept. He FaceTimed to ask for a feature and saw the face of death. Talking about niggas asking him for a feature and he the one that killed niggas. Mm-hmm. He's talking big shit on these songs.
What song was it recently where he was talking about how niggas don't even want to ask me to be on a song anymore or whatever? Because he is killing everybody when he's featured right now. Again, we were just talking about this about a month and a half ago on a pod where I said I never saw Cole becoming this person.
Mm-mm.
Because he's getting these features and he's killing motherfuckers.
Killing.
On them or whatever. So he has earned the right to talk that shit.
Mm-hmm.
But again, when you talking that shit.
You got to back it up.
People going to come at you. You know, and I respect the people for coming at them. You know, and you got to be ready to back. And if you're not, then don't put your shoes on. Don't go out there on the court. Don't go out there on the field. You ain't ready to go at it.
Because that nigga going to put my paper, the last line. My paper stretched just like a Laker before you break a sweat. Sign, the greatest yet. You can't say.
You called yourself Kobe. Ain't you calling yourself Kobe when you're saying that?
Or Bron. Either one.
Now, we always, you know, people always going to dig too deep into lyrics, but you know, would you stretch it? I mean, I don't know. I'm thinking about Whatever. What? But, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, because what's the line that hit me with it again? You stretching?
Yeah, my paper stretched just like a Laker before he take before he break a sweat.
Okay.
Either one. It could be Kobe or LeBron. Yeah. But he ended signing the greatest yet. Once you do
but
that.
But you're talking about the greatest, you know, but like you say, either one. It's
but
debate
you, once you do that and you know the control, that's why I always go back to the control verse. Kendrick told you what the fuck he was going to do. Mm-hmm. And he dropped your name. Mm-hmm. So if you're continuously saying you're the greatest, you know it's a nigga in the gym shooting 1,000 threes a day that's going to come for you. It wasn't in your soul then? Your soul wasn't
in it? I guess not. Yeah, I just feel like they woke people up. Like I said it last week. I feel like when the Kendrick first dropped and whatever I was reacting to it, so a few weeks ago, I just feel like Kendrick just finally got to the point of kind of just being tired of it. Maybe it is the whole Cole effect of, like you said, where you're talking this, you're talking that. At some point, you're going to have to back it up. But I feel like Cole got tired. I mean, I feel like Kendrick got tired of it. And Kendrick's just like, yo, I'm just going to air some shit out real quick or whatever. And again, obviously, it ain't in Cole's spirit, but Drake obviously seemed to be up for it. Or somebody in Drake's camp or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I will speak to one part you said, too, about, you know, you don't think the beef is going there. And I will say, for them, no. Mm-hmm. But you never know about the people around them that do the stupid shit and they mm-hmm. want to, you know. But maybe we passed that, in a sense. Yeah. Maybe we passed that part of the hangers-on trying to prove something mm-hmm. or something like maybe we passed that. But, I mean, we still done lost rappers to senseless shit that you don't know if mm-hmm. that's the case. I mean, I don't know. But so let me ask you another. Let's move it a little bit. Do you think – I've been seeing everybody reacting and talking about rap beef is back and stuff like that. Do you really think it's back? Like, this is – or is this just like, are we so excited about the fact that somebody had – especially big name people.
Yeah, given the current players, this is about what you can expect.
Okay, because I saw the Duval thing when he was listening to.
Oh, yeah, he was listening to Ross.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, because right now, you still got Jay and them lingering and Kanye, but the three biggest rappers right now,
yeah,
probably Drake. Kendrick.
When it comes to like rapping for real.
Yeah, Cole.
Now that's mainstream. Of course you're gonna be able to find somebody that can rap all day long. But
when you go through this shit in hip hop, every era is either, you know, Big Daddy Kane and them beef, the LL beef, and you got Pac and Big, you got the NWA beef with Dre and Easy and them. It's always been titans. Mm-hmm. It's titans of the industry. Easy wasn't no titan when it came to lyrics. He was more on the Rick Ross side. Yeah. But they were the titans of the industry at that point.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I think you get what you get. I feel like, obviously, no Vaseline and shit like that probably hit different than nigga Dre Day only make Easy's payday. Like, nigga, Easy wasn't spitting. You know what I'm saying? No Vaseline was different. You know what I mean? So I feel like, you know, you're going to have those situations where you got Ether and you got a takeover. You got two certified, like, lyrical bangers. You got Who Shot You? You got Hit 'Em Up. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You got some shit. But right now, these are the titans of the industry. Okay, and in hip-hop, every now and then, it might reset the market. It might not. Like, it ended, like we were talking about the other week. What's it called? Ended Cannabis. LL ended Cannabis. Mm-hmm. 50 ended Ja Rule. Drake ended Meek Mill. Niggas don't take Meek Mill serious no more. You can get ended by a rap battle. Meek is a caricature of, I don't even know. Nigga, get up! Like, Rock, get up! Like, who is this nigga now, man?
I saw, what was it with Meek? It was a post. Somebody was like, this can't be the same nigga that made Dreams and Nightmares.
It can't be.
Yeah, it can't be.
He got destroyed by Drake and he ain't been the same since, so it could happen. But, not like, I don't know if Cole gonna be able to recover from this. It's just not that he won't. Well, he's gonna make great music forever. It's not that he won't make great music. That aura of, it's like the playoffs about to start in the NBA. If I knew that, I'm trying to think of somebody who ain't won a championship. Fuck it, I know he won one. Oh, let's say Jason Tatum really didn't want to. He came out in an interview like, man, I just like hooping. I don't really want to win a championship. Like, whether we win or lose, it don't really matter to me. I just like playing basketball and hanging out with my friends. I'll see you guys later.
Yeah. I enjoy being in the locker room.
Like, yeah. At some point, you're going to be like,
yeah.
I don't look at you. Like, when I'm watching the Celtics play, I know down by 2 in the 4th, nigga, you ain't got it.
Mm-hmm. Because you don't care.
You don't care. And it's just going to change the way niggas react just a little bit. Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
You know what's interesting, too? Because, you know, his album is called The Fall Off. Mm-hmm. And it's like, with all the shit that happened out there, people really don't care. And it's so funny because it's like, in the verse on First Person Shooter, you know, I named the last album The Fall Off, but it's funny because it ain't no fall off or whatever. That. But if people ain't feeling you now because you done went out here on the stage and apologized to the whole world because you done came at somebody or whatever, pause.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's just, it might be that. Because people ain't going to listen to it the same.
You know, I hope to God this is all a play. I hope he come out on The Fall Off or in the next couple of days and tear
and say, fuck it, I'm back.
Because Cole, honestly, lyrically, delivery-wise, passion-wise, Kendrick, to me, this is almost blasphemy. But you can hear it in the way he even says shit on Like That. It's like, nigga, motherfuck the big three. Like, his delivery is almost DMX-ish. Like, I believe every word he has that voice.
People underestimate the voice.
Inflection.
And all that stuff, yeah, when you rapping. People underestimate that a lot.
So I believe Kendrick, but lyrically, tying shit together, different flow styles and patterns and getting in pockets on beats, there's really nobody better than J. Cole, man.
Might be right.
Damn, disappointing. It's like Jason Tatum. Like, he's 6'8", can shoot, he can guard. Like, what's up? What's the problem?
Yeah. I mean, well, apart from in the beginning, they was young and there was a guy named LeBron in the East. But since then, y'all been the one.
You too light-skinned, man.
Yeah, y'all been the one. And it's like, and it's just, like, there's no way that should have blew that series last year and all that stuff or whatever. Yeah, yeah. Going back to the beginning of the show, that's the one reason I guess you can kind of not believe in Boston this year because y'all ain't did it yet.
I don't believe in those two.
Y'all ain't did it yet.
Yeah. So, obviously this rap shit ain't over.
It's far from it.
Yeah, I just love it. I'm a fan of hip hop music. There's no other genre of music that's built on this foundation. It's what makes it so dope. Mm-hmm. And when these situations come about and these times come and these, you know, these different situations happen, it takes it to another level.
Oh yeah, it's dope though. It's still enjoyable though. It's still enjoyable. Yeah. All right. I mean, I got a couple things that's light.
Go. I got one real quick.
Oh, go ahead.
Let me pull it up so you can see. I think we talked about her situation before when she came up with that one album where she was kind of talking crazy. Summer Walker. But she is dating a guy. I'm trying to find, let me see if I can find this guy's name.
I saw some post. Somebody was talking about her. She must have like the worst BBL in history. Yeah, the way they were talking about her.
Yeah, Lush Legends is his name. He's a photographer. He's an erotic photographer. So apparently, he's had some bad interactions with some other young ladies. And they are this one person on Instagram. I mean on Twitter. OMG, this the nigga who exposed me in 2015. Most of the shit that's out there, I mean, without my consent, I sent it to him. I mean, he posted it. And when I said I didn't want to talk to him anymore, OMG, this shit is crazy and evil. Miss B Nasty had an issue with him, too.
Exposed him to what? I mean, what is he doing? Like, they sending him stuff and he just put it on the internet?
She said she ain't know he had an OnlyFans. She met him through IG. So I don't know if he's
Is he recording stuff with them? Recording and then stuff. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So Ms. B. Nasty was telling me he loved me. When I declined, he said he would pull up to my city and make me love him. He tells new models that we dated and I never met him. He locked models out of account, stuff like this.
He's a scammer.
So, according to them.
Right.
Because, do people deserve second chances, Brainstorm? Yes or no?
I mean, we gave OJ one. So, I mean, hey, it is what it is.
I just don't. I want to tread lightly because I'm not shaming anybody.
Okay.
Right.
This is all I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody. Damn, it's fucked up to say, but it's the truth. Okay.
Wow.
Everybody does not get the same level of consideration.
Or forgiveness?
No. What I mean by that is, one of the people he had a run-in with was Miss B. Nasty. She's a, you know, I've heard of her through the grapevine.
Don't she do
she
pots?
She does another P.
I thought she did that. I mean, I know she does the other P.
Yeah.
But, you know. I thought she was on some shows or something. Maybe I just
she might have been.
Maybe she's been on other people's shows or something. Okay, yeah.
But like, if I don't think you can be mad that somebody
treated you a certain way.
Yeah, man. When you decide to take a certain path in life. And then people start treating you like that certain path in life. I only got but so much sympathy. And it's not easy to embrace, I would think, a relationship with a porn star. I would think.
Mm-mm.
I couldn't do it.
Mm-mm.
I'm not saying any porn star would want to be with me.
When you mentioned it before the show, I mentioned the one guy. But I'll get it. Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't do it. So if he met Summer Walker, don't put your interaction with him on their relationship.
Like it's the same.
Like it's the same because he might have different standards for her than he had for you. He may not have gone into the interaction with you, unfortunately. This might be hard to hear, but sometimes males may go into interactions with dancers and or sex workers with different expectations, different.
Yeah.
Objectives,
different end goals, all
different end goals, yeah. Different mentalities.
Mm-hmm.
Than with a career woman or a business woman or, sorry, don't want to be disrespectful, but
that's life, though. Even if we don't talk about it, that don't mean it ain't happening.
Yeah, so I feel like they can go over all the bad experiences they had with them all they want to, but. Your experience don't necessarily have to be her experience.
Mm-hmm.
So she's talking about he wants to, this is what I'm saying, like he wants to keep every model to himself and tries to control all their social medias. Maybe you're right. But being with models or sex workers he might have a different mentality dealing with the sex worker. Or the sex model.
Somebody who was, I'm not even got to be a CEO of a company, but I'm just saying,
yeah.
it's different.
Yeah. So, yeah. I don't know. I think the world has, the world is doing a disservice to a lot of people because we've told people they can do and be whatever it is they want to be.
Which they can.
But you are going to run into some roadblocks. The way males interact with you, the way established women interact with you. Mm-hmm. They're going to support you in public, but you better get the fuck away from their man. Like,
oh yeah, oh yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, like, definitely with that.
Like, they fooled you into believing just because you can do what you want to do.
That they support you from
no matter what.
Thick and thin, no matter what. Just never.
And that's just not the case.
If you, especially what you put it that way, yeah, they'll support you for a lot of shit. But you better not look at their man too long. Or you better not talk to him too long. You better not ever like one of his pictures or something like that, yeah, or whatever. If you put it that way, yeah, of course. Because it's territorial and it's also protecting what's yours or whatever. But to the bigger point you were making before too, also it's people have to if you have enough pride, if you talk about what you do pride in a prideful manner and you're proud of what you do and you don't want anybody speaking down for you on you or what you do or whatever, that's cool. Mm-hmm. But again, as you said, people can react this however they want to react towards or whatever. And we got to stop acting like, and on this show, I've been a person that sat there and said that I think sex work or whatever shouldn't be illegal in this country, all these mm-hmm. things or whatever. It's a way that you can make money.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not hurting anybody.
Not hurting nobody.
If you got adults and y'all consenting, it's not hurting anybody. But we got to stop acting like we're going to look at somebody that's doing that and put it on the same level as somebody that's whatever else. I mean,
anything. A bank teller. It don't. Whatever it is.
It's going to treat you differently.
I'm telling you, the men, if this guy's a sex photographer and you're a sex worker, y'all interaction is probably going to be different than him and his girlfriend.
Oh, easily.
You understand what I'm saying? But the delusion has caused some of these people to think that, like, the way these people are treating sex workers is how they treat everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's such a delusional mindset. And it's like, don't try to down their relationship because of your interaction with them. What I mean by delusional mindset is like, everybody else on earth has to accept the fact that the way I present is going to affect how people treat me. I'm a big black male. Mm-hmm. It's going to change the way I was walking in Giant Eagle, and this older black dude joking around, but he was like, man, if I had your size, I wouldn't even bring no money in this though. I'll just take what I want. Mm-hmm. You have to he was joking and shit. I had to like kind of walk
away. But
it's
always an element of truth to it. Yeah.
It's always not even an element of, I mean, it's an element of truth. It's, but like, I have accepted the fact that my presence and the way I present is going to elicit some sort of reaction from people. It's inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
I get all the time. We need you on the old line for the brand. I get it all the time.
Yeah. No, I feel it. Yeah, yeah.
All the time. So you can't
get into an elevator with a white person. They're just going to assume that you're going to rob them. And all this, yeah.
So
yeah.
you can't choose this life of putting your box online, basically, and then expect everybody to treat you like you don't put your box online,
yeah,
man.
It's a difference.
So you're going to get treated different. I don't know what to tell you. I wish the world was different. I wish people could look past the fact that they could find your coochie right now on millions of websites. But if that is the case, you're going to be treated a bit differently.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to tell you. So when that man goes to get a woman whose coochie is not online, please don't try to project your experience on her. Because mm-hmm. she's not going to get the same experience you got.
Nah, she's not.
And that's unfortunate that you and all your henchmen are like, he treated me like this. He treated me like this. He treated me like this. But y'all all can also say, my coochie online. And my coochie online. And my coochie online. And if that's the case, I'm not even saying it's right, wrong, or indifferent. I would lean more towards it being wrong, to be honest with you. But it's a reality.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is, you're going to get treated a bit differently in relationships and shit like that
mm-hmm.
than a summer walker.
Yeah.
Easy. I'm sorry.
Easy. Quit, so, fast, in a hurry.
Yeah, yeah. It's just,
and even on the other side of it too, I know I mentioned it before the show, like when you told me you was going to talk about it, it's the, like, the guy that hosts Hot Ones, and mm-hmm. I can't think of his real name. He started dating a porn star.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry,
A P-star.
Sorry, Facebook.
A corn star.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Facebook. Mm-hmm. But he started doing that, and then and it kind of came out around Super Bowl time, so they were out Super Bowl weekend. And he didn't post pictures of them being out,
mm-hmm.
but she started.
Sean Evans.
Okay, Sean Evans. But she started posting pictures of them being out and about mm-hmm. or whatever. And then right after, and then I saw an article on Yahoo. Of course, you talk about me all the time because I'm always on Yahoo. But I saw an article about him dating her, and she's a former, or she's a P star.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, and mm-hmm. And then shortly after that, like a couple days after, they broke up, and she went online going dogging him and stuff, and he ain't this, and he can't handle that or whatever. And I actually agree with her, because if for him, again, he's probably a private guy. We don't hear nothing about him other than the fast one. I'm sorry, mm-hmm. other than the Hot Ones episodes. You know, and all of a sudden it gets out that you're dating a P star, and her shit is out there. If you Google her name,
oh, don't worry about it.
Jesus,
see what I'm saying? If I can do this,
everybody can.
If I can do this,
everybody can.
The treatment's going to be different.
It's out there, and so he broke up with her. But on the other side, so what I'm saying, what I'm getting to is on the other side of things. As a man, you got to be able to accept that too, because you can't sit there and be like, okay, I'm gonna date this P star. And I'm going to take her out and be out in public with her. And then when people start being like, oh, but you dating a P-star. Mm-hmm. Now you can't get uncomfortable. We're like, all right, I'm going to break up with you now. Whatever.
I mean, you
like,
can.
I mean, well,
and yeah, more than likely.
Obviously, he did.
But my point is, more than likely, they will. This is the dilemma. This is the. We talk about this. You talk about it with women in conversation and shit. And trying to help women understand males more, because we don't talk a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The unfortunate part is what you're saying, Brainstorm, is true, but it's probably going to be the experience. Because the truth of the matter is, the average nigga is just going to say, fuck it, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going
to
date
you. They going to try to just hit and
thank you.
Done.
And in a moment you become out in the open, they're going to turn and run.
Yeah.
Because the fact of the matter is, from the BBL lifestyle, to getting this cut off and this chopped off, and I do porn and I do only corn, and I do OnlyFans and I do this, that. There are very few males who are going to willingly raise their hand and say, I would love to be in a relationship with you, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
We really do appreciate natural bodies. We really do love women. We love the stretch marks, little curve here, indent there. We absolutely, there is a narcissistic nature to spending an exorbitant amount of money just to look a certain way. That is not the average male is, when it comes down to making a practical life decision,
mm-hmm.
and we start factoring in what makes sense, usually that decision doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And then we make a different decision.
Not at all.
So, unfortunately, when Sean Evans, when the rubber meets the road, he going to tuck and run. Yeah. And every nigga in the world, more than likely, is going to do it.
A lot of them going to do it.
Unfortunately. And that's the reality they're going to have to, like, be okay with. Because the average dude is like, you spent what? $25,000 on your ass and hips. Man, get the fuck out of here. I'm okay. Niggas will look at it. They'll double tap it every now and then or something. I don't even double tap the bullshit no more. You know what I mean? You first get on Instagram back in 2014, it's all brand new. You're like, ooh, what's this? 3 months later, you're like, this is some bullshit. Like, so it's an unfortunate reality that we got to be honest with people about. And I don't think people being honest about it.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But you said you had some smaller
stuff.
Yeah,
we'll get out here on some little easy stuff real quick. I saw something online this week. What's a food weakness you have?
Wings.
Like you see it.
Wings.
And yeah.
Wings.
Yeah. You ain't even take a second to even think. Not even.
Chicken wings, man.
Not even 3 seconds. You'd be like, you know what? You know, isn't that a honest food? Like you have to have more. Somebody got them. You got to have some. Or
wings.
Don't even get some. Okay.
Wings, and if I'm at a spot, if I'm at a gathering, and they can have cookies, they can have pound cake. If they got cheesecake there, I'm done. I got to get a piece. I cannot not get a piece of cheesecake. I can say no to cookies. I can say no to ice cream. I can say no to cupcakes.
So that's your sweet weakness.
My sweet weakness is cheesecake. But chicken wings, nigga.
To be honest, that's so funny. I think wings is probably my food weakness, too. It's my go-to whenever I'm just like, you know what, whatever.
It's the perfect food, man.
Yeah, especially the ones that's right.
I had some wings from Porky's yesterday in Erie. These Cajun wings, they were so damn good, man.
I thought that was gonna be like, oh, let me think about it. You know,
no, no. Nigga, it's wings, man.
Yeah, it's probably mine too. I mean, as much as I love steak, you know, steak got to be done right.
Yeah. So
you can't really say steak because it's like they gotta cook it the right way. I mean, like you can have it in steak, and you're like, all right, it's good, but it's not. But you, a great steak is far and few and far between mm-hmm. because it's like even when you make it at home, sometimes it's like. Little things could really throw off a steak. Cause I'm a snob with steak. So it was like little things could throw it off. The fire could have been just a touch.
This is the thing. You can make wings in bulk.
Yeah.
You can eat wings 7 days in a row, and 5 out of those 7 days you'll be like, God damn, these motherfuckers hitting, boy. like 5 out of 7 days, might have 2 days where you like, ugh, these are a little slimy. Like these ain't. But 4 or 5 out of them 7 days,
you might be like, all right. Even warmed up.
Man, you can't go wrong with wings, man.
Yeah. So, I actually agree with you on that. But if it's something sweet, like I used to be the person that I still don't have a real big sweet tooth. Mm-hmm. But I used to be like, all right, if I really wanted something sweet, if I get a little mini thing like Oreos or something, that'll hold me over. I'll eat those and I'm good for like a month. I'm developing more of a sweet tooth nowadays. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's just so I'm kind of like now I eat something sweet and I actually be wanting a little bit more. So I'm trying to not really fall into it. So I don't really have like nothing sweet or anything like that.
Oh, but, I got to eat real quick. Speaking of sweet tooth, shout out to Leah, who was talking and she was talking about, some of my old snacks or whatever. And she was talking about one and I ended up finding it online and ordering some for her. Why did I just order her some soft batch cookies? Remember those joints, the Keebler soft batch?
Yeah,
they don't sell them in stores no more. So I found them online. You can't get the little red pack. You can't get them no more, man.
They don't.
So I found some soft batch cookies.
God damn them soft batch
cookies. Man, they was fire. I got a 12 pack. We bought a 12 pack of the fours at the crib. I bought some for her.
You know what? I might have to look online and find them soft batch cookies. Man, they was hard as hell.
It's a yellow. It's a yellow package now, but the outside of the big box is still red. But the individual packages is yellow now.
Yeah. Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
All right. The last thing I really got in there is I watched this video this week on YouTube where it was Martin and Will Smith talking. That showed you that even though Will Smith is one of the most recognizable faces and everything or whatever this and that, it's so funny that even in the black community, I just gotta say Martin and everybody know who Martin is. But with Will, I gotta say Will Smith.
Yeah.
But they were doing the thing where they were watching videos from, they were doing an interview and it was like video clips from Bad Boys over the years. Did you see that?
No.
And I'm watching them sit next to each other and I'm just again reminded of Martin lived an insane life. Martin probably got like 50 million stories to tell.
Yeah.
But I feel like Martin is paying for it right now. Yep. And in the YouTube comments, people was talking about, oh, Martin looks good. Martin looks healthy. And maybe he does look healthy. Maybe he looks a little healthy compared to what he was, maybe.
Yeah.
But Martin just...
Martin out of here, man.
He's slower now. He's so much slower. Mm-hmm. That's what makes me nervous about this fourth Bad Boys film,
mm-hmm.
where it's like, I'm going to go see it because I'm going to go support him. But, you know, they just...
Will got to carry this.
Oh, but he carried the last one to me.
Yeah.
In a sense. You see, they built it more around Will, though. His whole story and the son, they built it around Will. So it's like he's going to carry it. And I feel like they're just going back to the Will because they know it's a market for it. Yeah, and people will actually go to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Martin's just, he's just not there as much, man. No, and it's sad to see, but he's one of our legends from that 90s era or whatever. But again, people don't understand. It goes back to us talking about that Freaknik documentary and all the stuff that happened in the 90s. And the rap beefs and everything or whatever. The 90s was a tough goddamn era. Black entertainment was so dope in the 90s between TV shows. I know it wasn't a ton of them, but you know, the Thursday Night, the New York Undercover, the Martin, the Living Singles or whatever, to the music with how R&B is. It's a golden era of music and stuff like that and hip hop. But it was such a weird time and it's like such a go hard time. I feel like everybody there, I feel like the black people probably lived a rock star style lifestyle at that point in time.
It was a lot. When you think about it, it's 30 years. That's a long time. You think about the 90s, that would have been like people from the 60s.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
if you look at Mick Jagger and them like that, they don't look the greatest now.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. Like that was a long time ago. And when you think about the people from that era. Yeah, it's a lot of people. Some passed, some made it through. You know, you got the Whitneys of the world, the Mike Jacks and Princes, them kind of people. You got Bobby Brown and Martin, and who was somehow.
They've survived it.
Survived it. Yeah, you know, you got the Pac and Big because of craziness in the rap shit, but you still got Snoop and all them other people and Cube and them. So, it was definitely a different time. But when you sit back and you really think about it, that was 30 years ago, man. Mm-hmm. It was 30 years ago. We was talking about it at the thing at the meet and greet on Friday. It was one white dude that I hadn't seen forever. I was a red shirt freshman when he was a senior. Mm-hmm. I came in, started, took his spot. Then I ended up having a red shirt, and he took his spot back.
Okay.
We was talking about that. And then I had to sit out my first year because y'all don't prepare you for college. Still another conversation.
They don't.
But
It depends on what you're doing.
Yeah, but it was 23 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I said, God damn. 24.
Bro, this is the 24th year of me being out of high school, and we got our reunion stuff this year.
Yeah, that's 24 years ago, dog.
It's
24 years, man.
Yeah.
So when you think about that, what happens in 24 years? Imagine a car from 24 years ago, or a house from 24 years ago, some shoes you bought. 24, like, Martin is probably where, unfortunately, where Martin should be.
For the life he lived back
then?
Yep. For life, yeah. And Will, and you could, and it's such a great side by side.
You can see how Will lived different.
Yep. I'm not saying great in the sense of like it's something like it's a good thing, but we know what Martin did, and we know that Will said, I didn't even drink. Will just started cussing in interviews 3 years ago. Literally, like 3-4 years when he did that interview with the guys from that do the Apple Music thing. I can't think of the names right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's like, he was like, when his dad died, he felt free enough to start just cussing and stuff like that or whatever. It's just, Will didn't live that life, but Will was so focused on box office, number one, which is another drug in itself, which is why we see who he is now.
Yeah.
But he didn't live the harsh life of the alcohol and the drugs and the parties and all the crazy. And you sit them next to each other, and they're both in their 50s. And Martin's older than Will, I think.
Yeah, you can see the difference.
But Martin just looks, I mean, again, maybe he looks healthy from where he's been. But Jesus Christ, they put up them videos from the first Bad Boys, and it's like...
It's different. Yeah, it was different.
Man. Yeah. Even the second one came out in what, 03 or something like that or whatever, and they still were with it or whatever. Mm-hmm. Martin is a long way away from that one.
Yeah.
20 years ago.
Yeah.
Man, it's terrible.
Yeah, it is, man.
So, but yeah. It was. It's only like a 4 or 5 minute video. It's funny to watch or whatever. Talking about the dude that in the scene from the second one where remember the dude was coming to take out Meg and his daughter.
He's supposed to be coming back. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But it's somehow he just wasn't really wasn't a trained actor, so they ad-libbed that whole scene. Mm. He just didn't know. So all his reactions in there
was real.
Because they didn't know that. But so it's a cool watch, but yeah. All right, so we'll get on out of here, man. So we will be back next Sunday with a new episode. Dev, give him all your shits.
Man, it is Big Dev, man. Do what needs to be done. What needs to be done, whether you like it or not. It's the real Big Dev 216 everywhere.
Everywhere. All right, man, DMST16@yahoo.com. Questions, comments, concerns, feedback, questions you want us to ask, things like that or whatever. Again, we'll be back next week with a brand new show. No other announcements, but Playboy, get back. I'm asking where this goddamn pillow came from.
Exactly.
There's a brand new pillow in the studio.
Yeah.
That I have no idea where this goddamn pillow came
from.
And I'm going to ask him, goddamn it. If he's watching right now, I'm going to ask you, goddamn it, where the hell this pillow come from?
What's going on up here, man?
But it may be cloudy today, but the sun will come out tomorrow. And as long as you are here under the sun, live your life to the best of your motherfucking ability. I am DJ Brainstorm for you and all social media. That is DJ Brainstorm, the number for the letter.
You. Better come out with some more shit, Drizzy, because these niggas coming for your neck, boy.
Yeah, man. All right, man. We out here. Y'all see y'all next week. Peace.
Peace.